Hermione, listen to me. You don't understand. My father and Mr. Mangan were boys together. Mr. Mangan...
I don't care what they were. We must sit down if you're going to begin as far back as that.
She snatches at Ellie's waist.
And makes her sit down on the sofa beside her.
Now, Pettikins, tell me all about Mr. Mangan. They call him Boss Mangan, don't they? He is a Napoleon of industry and disgustingly rich, isn't he? Why isn't your father rich?
My poor father should never have been in business. His parents were poets, and they gave him the noblest ideas, but they cannot afford to give him a profession.
Fancy your grandparents with their eyes in fine frenzy rolling, and so your poor father had to go into business. Hasn't he succeeded in it?
He always used to say he could succeed if only he had some capital. He fought his way along to keep a roof over our heads and bring us up well. But it was always a struggle, always the same difficulty of not having capital enough. I don't know how to describe it to you.
Poor Ellie. I know, pulling the devil by the tail.
Oh no, not like that. It was at least dignified.
That made it all the harder, didn't it? I shouldn't have pulled the devil by the tail with dignity. I should have pulled hard, hard. Well, go on.
At last it seemed that all our troubles were at an end. Mr. Mangan did an extraordinarily noble thing out of pure friendship for my father and respect for his character. He asked him how much capital he wanted and gave it to him. I don't mean that he lent it to him or that he invested it in his business. He just simply made him a present of it. Wasn't that splendid of him?
On condition that you married him?
Oh, no, 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 no. This was when I was a child. He had never even seen me. He never came to our house. It was absolutely disinterested. Pure generosity.
Oh, I beg the gentleman's pardon. Well, what became of the money?
We all got new clothes and moved into another house, and I went to another school for 2 years.
Only 2 years?
That was all, for at the end of 2 years, my father was utterly ruined.
How?
I don't know. I never could understand, but it was dreadful. When we were poor, my father had never been in debt. But when he launched out into business on a large scale, he had to incur liabilities. When the business went into liquidation, he owed more money than Mr. Mangan had given him.
Bit off more than he could chew, I suppose.
Oh, that just shows how entirely you are mistaken about him. The business turned out a great success. It now pays 44% after deducting the excess profits tax.
Then why aren't you rolling in money?
I don't know. It seems very unfair to me. You see, my father was made bankrupt. It nearly broke his heart because he had persuaded several of his friends to put money into the business. He was sure it would succeed, and events proved that he was quite right. But they all lost their money. It was dreadful. I don't know what we should have done but for Mr. Mangan.
What? Did the boss come to the rescue again? After all his money being thrown away?
He did indeed, and never uttered a reproach to my father. He bought what was left of the business, the buildings and the machinery and things, from the official trustee for enough money to enable my father to pay part of what he owed and get his discharge. Everyone pitied Papa so much and saw that he was an honorable man. Then Mr. Mangan started a company to take up the business and made my father manager in it to save us from starvation. For I wasn't earning anything then.
Quite a romance. And when did the boss develop the tender passion?
Oh, that was years after, quite lately. He took the chair one night at a sort of people's concert. I was singing there, as an amateur, you know. Half a guinea for expenses and 3 songs with 3 encores. He was so pleased with my singing that he asked, might he walk home with me? I never saw anyone so taken aback as he was when I took him home and introduced him to my father, his own manager. It was then that my father told me how nobly he had behaved. Of course, it was considered a great chance for me, as he is so rich, and we drifted into a sort of understanding. I suppose I should call it an engagement.
You may have drifted into it, but you will bounce out of it, my Pettikins, if I am to have anything to do with it.
No, it is no use. I am bound in honor and gratitude. I will go through with it.
You know, of course, that it's not honorable or grateful to marry a man you don't love. Do you love this Mangan man?
Yes, at least.
I don't want to know about at least. I want to know the worst. Girls of your age fall in love with all sorts of impossible people, especially old people.
I like Mr. Mangan very much, and I shall always be
grateful to him for his kindness to dear father, I know. Anybody else?
What do you mean?
Anybody else? Are you in love with anybody else?
Of course not.
The book on the drawing table catches her eye. She picks it up.
And evidently finds the title very unexpected.
Quite sure you're not in love with an actor?
No, no. Why? What put such a thing in your head?
This is yours, isn't it? Why else should you be reading Othello?
My father taught me to love Shakespeare.
Really? Your father does seem to be about the limit.
Hesione, do you never read Shakespeare? That seems to me so extraordinary. I like Othello.
Do you indeed? He was jealous, wasn't he?
Oh, not that. I think all the part about jealousy is horrible. But don't you think it must have been a wonderful experience for Desdemona, brought up so quietly at home, to meet a man who had been out in the world, doing all sorts of brave things, and having terrible adventures, and yet finding something in her that made him love to sit and talk with her and tell her about them?
That's your idea of romance, is it?
Not romance exactly. It might really happen.
Ellie's eyes show that she is not arguing, but in a daydream.
Mrs. Hushabye, watching her inquisitively, goes deliberately back to the sofa and resumes her seat beside her.
Ellie, darling, have you noticed that some of those stories that Othello told Desdemona couldn't have happened?
Oh, no. Shakespeare thought they could have happened.
Desdemona thought they could have happened, but they didn't.
Why do you look so enigmatic about it? You are such a sphinx. I never know what you mean.
Desdemona would have found him out if she had lived, you know. I wonder, was that why he strangled her?
Othello was not telling lies.
How do you know?
Shakespeare would have said if he was. Hesione, there are men who have done wonderful things. Men like Othello, only, of course, white and very handsome, and...
Oh, now we're coming to it. Tell me all about him. I knew there must be somebody, or you'd never have been so miserable about Mangan. You'd have thought it quite a lark to marry him.
Hesione, you are dreadful. But I don't want to make a secret of it. Though, of course, I don't tell everybody. Besides, I don't know him.
Don't know him? What does that mean?
Well, of course, I know him to speak to.
But you want to know him ever so much more intimately, eh?
No, no. I know him quite, almost intimately.
You don't know him, and you know him almost intimately. How lucid.
I mean that he does not call on us. I got into conversation with him by chance at a concert.